And today, what I want to talk about is consecrating the money, consecrating the finances. Now, I promise all our visitors, if it's your first time here, or if this is your first time here, you know, you don't know that we very seldom preach about the tithe and the offering, amen? So come back. I promise next week could be different. Amen. A couple of years ago, I posted about members being in and not being in good standing. And there was some offense taken by a few people from what I said. And what I thought interesting was the only people who were mad at what I was saying was the people who was not in good standing. Amen. I have a saying that goes, if you throw a rock in the bush, the only one that's going to say ouch is the one that got hit. And it was deep to me because that lets me know that you don't get it. If you get offended by something that is actually meant to bless you, amen? And the thing is, many of the people who don't give of their money, watch this, neither do they give of their time. And I can't lie, it leaves me perplexed, stumped, confused, and even sometimes at how confused at sometimes how people could get offended by me saying that you're not in good standing because of a bevy of reasons. And yes, one of those reasons is that some do not give financially, nor do you give of your time. And the thing is that some of the people in this ministry have been with us for years, amen, but still do not tithe regularly. So today I want to talk about consecrating the money. I believe in teaching. I believe that once you know something, it leaves you without an excuse. And I understand that a lot of people may be ignorant when it comes to tithing. Now, as I've said before, don't be offended by the word ignorant. That simply means you lack knowledge on a certain subject. But here's the good news. Ignorance can be remedied through knowledge. Amen. I don't know nothing about flying an airplane. But if I took some classes and I had some training, then my ignorance for flying airplanes would be remedied. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so the point of this teaching is to know for sure that you understand the principles of tithing that we follow here at Growth Temple Ministries. And so I want to teach some sound biblical principles, and not only for the ones that don't tithe, but particularly for those of you that do, so that you can get the full benefit out of tithing. See, a lot of times you do things without any knowledge of why you do it. But you say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, but you don't understand the reason behind it. And as a consequence, you don't get the full blessing because you lack understanding. And the Bible says, with all you're getting, get an understanding. All right. And I believe that some things can be preached, but some things need to be taught in order to get the breakthrough that you are searching for. I do believe that God is supposed to bless his people. I just cannot believe that the enemy would be better to me in sin than God would be to me in salvation. I just have a problem believing that. And yet it's been very hard to balance this issue because the church tends to go to either one extreme or the other in terms of talking about blessings especially. We get so caught up talking about blessings that we start measuring how blessed we are by how much you have prospered. And I do not believe that that is biblical. And I don't believe that I have to drive around in a Benz to prove to you that I believe God. And I don't think it's fair to say that when I have problems with my child, if I have problems with my child, I don't have faith. Or because my home may not be as big as yours, that doesn't mean that I don't believe in God. Amen? And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times people equate blessed with the stuff that they got. Some people tend to believe they have the big home, the nice luxury cars, they go on 2 or 3 vacations a year, and they'll tell you that they're blessed. But if you watch their lifestyle, you could say, you know, you could, versus their lifestyle versus the word of God, and you come to a quick conclusion that you're not blessed, you just got a good job. Amen. Y'all catch that on the way home. The apostles never lived in much of a house, and they had all kinds of faith. They were raising the dead and healing folk and all that. And they didn't ride in the best, they didn't ride the best horses. They just simply believed. Now what I want you to first understand is that God is not going to pour wine into old wine skins, simply because the old skins can't hold them. So there has to be a change in the old skins so that God can properly bless you. I'm going to be very basic today, and the reason why I actually had some notes for you guys, but in my earlier today I was dealing with some things and wasn't able to get them off printed the way I wanted to, but this tithing thing is the principle that none of us can afford to not understand. So again, it will be very simplistic, and I pray that when I'm done, you'll have a different outlook on tithing, and that will be a blessing to you. First question people like to ask is, what is the tithe? And y'all bear with me. I'm not feeling 100% today, but I believe your prayers will get me through. What is the tithe? Now I know that seems like a very simple question, which you wouldn't believe how many people actually do not know what the tithe is. And that's okay, because that's what we're going to learn today. Simply stated, your tithe is a tenth of your gross income. A tenth of your gross income. That is considered an opportunity for you to worship God through obedience to his word by setting it aside as holy unto him. And in the early Bible days, it went far beyond money. They were not always dealing with money as commerce, but because they were dealing with crops, they were dealing with cattle, oxen, and such. So if you had 10 oxen born to you, you would give one to God. If you had 10 bushels of corn, one belonged to God. So it was the tenth in whatever was taken in of the gross income, and it was set aside, and it was considered holy unto the Lord. Lord have mercy. And I want to talk real quickly about what that means for something to be holy unto the Lord. Now, when I think about holy unto the Lord, I think about clean. But actually, when the Bible talks about holy unto the Lord, it means consecrated. It means that this is set aside. And when something is holy unto the Lord, it means that God has exclusive between him and what it is that you're setting to the side. So when it says holy unto the Lord, that thing is set aside for the Lord, consecrated. It is exclusively for God's use. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why we call it, that's why we call matrimony holy matrimony. It's not so much as pointing to the cleanliness of marriage as it is to the consecration of marriage. And it means that I am set aside to this person, and they are set aside to me, and together we are set aside for God. And so in the Bible days, when something was consecrated, it belonged to God, and God takes what's his very seriously. And I think sometimes we teach in such a condemning way that we don't give people a chance to get an enlightened understanding of what tithing means and what it is supposed to do. Do you understand that tithing is supposed to do something for you? So the tithe is to be holy unto the Lord, so holy unto the Lord that so holy unto the Lord that there are scriptures, and I'm not going to deal with all of them today, but just know that God talks more about money, way more about money than he does about anything else. And what many people don't understand about the tithe is that when you use what is his, God wants interest. According to scriptures, he wants interest on his money. That's scripture. I'm going to show it to you here in a second. So it's not just pay it back. It's pay it back with interest. Why? Does he need the money? No. But he wants to emphasize to you that this is mine. And if you borrowed it, you borrowed something that is mine, and I want to drive home to you that that was mine. He wants you to know that the tithe was not yours. And God takes that so seriously that when they stopped bringing the tithe, he said that they had robbed him. This has nothing to do, I want you to understand this, this has nothing to do with who the pastor is. It has nothing to do with the church, or it has nothing to do with the funds, where the funds are going to. It has something to do with an act of worship between you and God. If somebody is abusing the funds, God is going to judge them. But you will still get your blessing because you did it holy unto God. By the same token, it gives me a sense of comfort to be in a ministry where the funds have accountability, because I prefer to sow into good ground. And I prefer to be led by somebody who has some sound principles, because the anointing that falls on the head is going to fall all the way down on the congregation. And to be honest with you, to be very transparent with you, I have to say that a lot of clergy and pastors do not know how to handle money. And it's not that they are wicked, and it's not that they are corrupt. They are people of God. And some of those pastors that don't know how to handle money do not have the courage to appoint those who do know how to handle the money. So what happens is ignorance perpetuates itself like a generational curse. Because like Moses, like Joshua, you cannot lead a people where you have not been. I maintain that Moses' struggle with getting people in the promised land was that he had never been there himself. Joshua was able to take them all the way across into the promised land because he had already been there. Excuse me. Moses had been in the wilderness. And it's very difficult to lead people far beyond your experience. Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 33. I see what I want you to have is a firm foundation under you. I don't want you to do anything that you cannot explain. This will wolf-proof you. If you can't explain it, you shouldn't be doing it. Amen? A tithe, verse number 30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to who? The Lord. It is holy to who? Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a what? A fifth of it, of the value to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A fifth to it. So that's around 20%. God wants interest on his money when you use his money instead of tithing as you were supposed to. And what I need you to understand, and please don't think for a minute that you're helping God out. You tithing is not helping God out, because if you would just think about it for a minute, whatever you have, he gave it to you. So there is a lesson to be learned here. If you don't have any money and I come along and give you $20, but tell you that two of that 20 belongs to me, when you give me the $2, don't act like you enriched me, because I'm the one that gave you the 20. So when you give God the 2 out of the 20, obviously he doesn't need the 2. So what he's doing is teaching you some principles and aligning you into a place to where you can be blessed. See? Let me tell you something. One thing God had to do for me when I first started out was to show me that God didn't need anyone to do for me what he called me to do. I remember when we first started Growth Temple over in Eastland, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together, and one day a couple joined the church, and that was really well to do, and their tithe basically paid the bills, and one day I got a call, and they, you know, years later I got a call a couple of years later that, and they wanted to meet, and when we got to meeting, they was letting me know that they were leaving the church, and at first I was devastated. But it wasn't long after that we were able to buy new carpet and paint the place, and we did with less money coming in. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, God had to show me that I didn't need people to make it. All I ever needed
was him. All I will ever need, all you will ever need is him. And they had to leave because as soon as they left, God just began to, you know, shooting provision our way. And I'll tell you something, it was a different type of attack when we got here to Unity, because when this was used to be Unity, because just about everybody left. And so for 7 to 8 years, I stressed myself out trying to pay this and trying to come up with that. And then one night God said, didn't I tell you to trust me? And I went into our board meeting and I said, I know we don't have it, but I want it and we need it. And it's time to stop being scared and trust God. And immediately people began to sow into the vision. But see, I had to remember that if he brought me to it, then he would bring me through it. You understand what I'm saying to you today? See, God is trying to teach you some principles so that you can become a disciple, not just someone who's shouting and jumping around and screaming, you know, and putting on a show. And then when the trials of life come to try your faith to see what type of faith it is, your faith has no credibility. Your faith, for faith without works is dead, being alone. And one of the ways that credibility is proven, and you want to catch this, but one of the ways that you can test credibility is accountability with finances. You can tell me you are sold out to this ministry all you want to, but what really tells the story is with your finances. Amen. See, we have been taught so much deception that when we hear the truth, it doesn't really make sense to us. It's like people are always shouting because they believe if they give a tithe or an offering, that all their debts is just going to magically disappear out of the computers. And people, I've watched it, people get slain in the spirit behind that. Again, you're only getting slain because you're on the debt end. But if you stop shouting for a second and think about the person that owes you. Oh, Lord. See, all of a sudden, that story looks different. Now that you're on the other end. I've heard, foolishly young in the ministry, I've prayed it myself. I've heard people pray, God, just let everybody's debt just supernaturally bloop out of the computers. It ain't there no more. but what if you had the money and people owed you? Would you still appreciate that same prayer? Got quiet in here. So your mentality is geared toward getting over, and if you're not renewed in the spirit of your mind, you will pray that God would help you get over things that you need to overcome. And you'll mess around and be what's called a church gigolo. And you will never grow and have everything God has called for you to have, because you'll go here, then you'll go there, and then you'll go on to the next church, and same sort of game, just only add scriptures. In verse number 32, and I'm reading from the NIV version, and I'm reading it for a reason. It says, verse number 32, every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy unto the Lord. Every tenth animal, tithe means tenth, that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Verse number 33, no one may pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If anyone does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. God says, don't just give me what you don't want. You hear me? See, because giving is about worship. Lord, have mercy. You might want to note that. Giving is about worship. Giving, and particularly in the New Testament, it's because it begins to get in with your attitude about God. So at the point that you begin to just give anything, it just means that you really don't care anything. Now understand, the widow gave a mite and impressed Jesus more than the rich people giving tons of money. But the reason she impressed Jesus was not on the strength of how much or of how small she gave. It was that it was all she had. And so percentage-wise, she had outgiven everyone because God does things by percentage. And even though she had been hypothetically, you know, given a quarter or so, she had given 100%. And there was no way to outdo her. And the rich people were giving more than she was giving amount-wise. But it was not more to God, because God looks at what you have. Watch this. God looks at what you have and he compares it to how you give, and that will determine your level of faithfulness. So for someone to run up to the altar and lay a $10 bill on the altar, it really truly is a sacrifice to God. But for somebody else, it's an insult to God. See, if you're the person that all you have to put in the basket is $10, you understand? That's one thing. But when God knows that you are better seated, you are doing far better than what you are acting like, that $10 is not an honor to him. It's an insult. Lord, have mercy. You should never come to God's altar and act like something is a sacrifice when you know that it really isn't a sacrifice at all. You might have done that in the past, because you hadn't been taught. But now that you've been taught, when you move toward the altar is for what? A sacrifice. It really is. And it always has been. There's no confusion about that. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the altar was always for sacrifice. They shed blood on the altar. It was painful on the altar. So the altar was always for sacrifice. Blood is what they shed. Blood. So let's not get caught up in doing things just to be doing them. It's got to mean something. It's like when you came up to the altar, you remember back in the day when you come up to the altar because your mama made you. You didn't want to come to the altar, but she pushed you to the altar. And if you turned around like you didn't, y'all remember that face your mama used to make when you turned around in church trying to be a little, you know, you knew, you spanked, you might as well just go on and be blessed and spanked. Amen. So, you know, she would push you up to the altar. And some of you are missing what should be a real experience, but you aren't. And it's because you are not getting a real understanding of what God has for you. The next question people ask is, why the 10%? What is it about the 10% that God likes? I mean, why didn't he say 30% or 50%? And there are other percentages that God talks about, and there is such a thing as doubling your tithes. I remember there was a couple of times where people were doubling their tithes or giving more than their tithes. They were operating in a different realm of faith. And I've had people come up to me and say, Bishop, I believe that this is good ground, and I want to sow a seed on the strength of my new business and how that business is booming. And you know, and he hasn't looked back yet. I've got a guy right now. I see him every time I go on Facebook. He sowed a seed. He said, I'm sowing this seed unto the Lord. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm sowing it on the strength of my business. And this has been years ago, and we see him on social media all the time. Somebody done gave him this. When I say gave him, I'm talking about apartment buildings, and somebody done blessed him with this. And you know, and I truly believe with my whole heart it was because of the seed that he sowed. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now he's no longer with us, and that's because well, I won't go into that, but let me tell you something. Every now and again he calls me. I want to sow into the man of God because I believe in the man of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I believe in the relationship that God has with the man of God. The ministry, so I want you to understand this. I'm going to try to stand up here for a second. You got to be careful when you're operating with people. This is why before you get married, you got to know who you're marrying, right? Because this particular gentleman would still be here, but he had a wife with a Jezebel spirit. He loved the ministry. The ministry loved him. The ministry was growing him, but his wife, she was out of control. So he couldn't stay here. But the breakthrough for his business came. all on the strength of his seed. See, the seed was still valuable despite his wife tripping. Lord, have mercy. Y'all hear me? See, it's something between you and God as you provoke the Holy Spirit to move on your behalf because of what? Your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your faith, you know what according means. It means in proportion to, in harmony with. According to your faith, in proportion to your faith, so be it unto you. The 10% is the minimum. Why 10%? The answer is 10 is symbolic of the whole. Our numerical system teaches in groups of what? Tens. In fact, if you truly understand our numerical system, the highest you can ever count to in the number-wise is 10. If you can count to 10, you can count to a million. Because it's just a group of tens. The whole principle is what algebra and everything derive from, understanding the concept of 10. And when you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. By the time you say 11, you've really just gone back to 1. Now let me show you the weird thing about the 10th. See, when you give the tithe, what you are really saying is, what you're not saying is, I'm giving 10%. No, what you're saying is, God, all of my money belongs to you. I just represent it with the tithe. Because the tithe is symbolic of the whole. Lord, have mercy. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? This principle is so powerful that you got saved through this principle. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead on your behalf and has ascended on high and is seated on the right-hand side of God. Now catch this. He represents the whole body of Christ. Lord, have mercy. And that's why in Romans 6, verse number 5, when the Bible says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's why it all also says that I am accepted by the beloved. At the point Jesus got in, I got in too. Lord, have mercy. Because he is the tithe in which I represent the whole. And because I am in him, when the Father accepted him, he accepted me. And it's in him that I live and I move and I have my very being. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you today? So when you bring that tithe up and you give it to God, you are saying that all of my money is up under the umbrella of God's sovereign authority and rule. And that's why the enemy can't get to your finances, because you have brought it up under the covenant and the umbrella of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important thing, because when you bring it under the protection of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to spend all your time watching it, worrying about it, stressing out, scheming, trying to fight for position, or doing whatever you got to do to get to the top, because you know that God has your blessing covered. And whatever God has for you, it's for you. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's a very calming and peaceful thing. And you don't have to worry about the liars or the haters or the gossipers on the job, because when God decides to bless you, watch this, he don't need nobody. He doesn't have to call the board together. He don't have to have them take a vote if he's going to bless you or not. When God decides to bless you, he blesses you, and all of your critics' mouths is stopped. Yeah. And a part of shutting your haters up is because you have covenant with God. And you have exercised by bringing your finances up under the control of the Holy Spirit. And you start operating on another realm, because when you lift your tithe up to God, you are not just saying that this is the 10% is holy. You're saying the whole thing is holy. Lord, how much? Oh, Lord. So God just lets us off with 10%. And he says, if you'll bring the 10%, I'll bless the 90%. because the 10% represents the 90. The 90 is in the 10, beloved. The 90 is in the 10, and when you brought it up under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit, and you have opened yourself up to realms of blessings that are mind-boggling, and that there are things that God has for you that your eyes haven't seen, that your ears haven't heard, it hasn't even entered into your heart, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But when you bring that tithe up under God's umbrella, what you're saying is, Lord, I'm tired of operating in the earth realm. I want to operate in the supernatural. Release to me the things that's been held up.
I hope that shouting is matching your giving. Yeah.
See, you are only appointed to teach things that the Holy Spirit has proven in your own life. And he has proven in my life. I know what it is not to tithe. I know what it is to be saved, shouting, falling all over the church, talking about I can't afford to tithe. I'm just believing God that as soon as I get out of this debt, I'm going to, and just broke. That mentality just broke. I know what it feels like to have the car repossessed and have to park it on the, y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about. You remember when you had to park the car two streets over and then walk home to your house because you knew the repo man been riding around there for a couple days now. And so y'all act like y'all ain't hearing me in here. Y'all act like y'all ain't never had nothing repossessed or you don't know somebody that had to make a move just to keep what little bit that they had. And here's the thing. Can I just go ahead and be real? When you was hiding the car, you wasn't hiding and saying, when I get paid, I'm going to go ahead and put something on it. Now, you way past all that. You just hiding it because you just need a car and you ain't got time to be sewing your money into the payment. Now, I can talk to you about being broke now. So I want you to get, I'm not knocking you. I understand. But I was so glad when the Holy Spirit started teaching me the word so I could start moving in faith so I could get my finances out of the pits of hell. Come on. Yeah. And I know y'all really don't like me talking about money, but let me tell you something. 78% of the people who are locked up in prisons right now are locked up over money. The major cause of divorce in this country is not over adultery, it's over money. What you find people arguing about all the time is usually about money. Let me tell you something. If you could get in a flow, Lord have mercy, and I'm not talking about being rich. I'm talking about a flow. That's why a flow, you get into something that flows. That's why they call it currency. You understand what I'm saying to you? Currency, you feel me? If you could get into a flow where you could raise your mind over whether you can pay for lunch this weekend and you get back to witnessing and operating in the Holy Spirit, we could get some people saved. If you would stop, if we didn't have to worry about how we're going to pay the mortgage all the time, we could have bands of people in the neighborhoods that where the shootings are, where the drug addiction is. We could have people headed to the jails and the rehab centers witnessing unto the Lord. But what the enemy has done is he has put a fear factor in the spirit of many of us, and we don't sow. And since we don't sow, we all we do is sit back and try to figure out how to survive. But when I put my finances under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to worry about how I'm going to survive. I know that he's a keeper.
Some people might be sitting here saying, well, I don't tithe, and I still do pretty good. Well, the Bible says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. But what would it look like if you was actually obedient to the word of God? You think you balling now. You think you living your best life now. What would it look like when you're obedient to the scriptures? What is it about the tithe that blesses God, the money of the obedience? You already know the answer, because God ain't broke. He said the silver and the gold are mine. I own everything. And so what you need to understand, what God gets out of your giving is the obedience.
What I want you to see, what blesses God is the obedience. And watch this, the spirit in which you do it in. What blesses God is the obedience and the sacrifice and an expression of love. Me and my wife got this thing every night we'll lay down and she'll go straight to sleep. She just sleeps easy. You know, God really loves her. She sleeps. And I'm so petty. I'm petty. I'm gonna let you know. So I wait till I hear her, like, you know, you can tell when your mate has really got that spot in and they sleep. And I go right on her shoulder. And she says, I swear right now I'll do something to you if you only. And I say, I'll wait for a minute and I'll. And I say, she'll say, what, Stephen? And I say, I'm dying of thirst over here. And here lately, I'm dealing with an injury. You understand what I'm saying to you? And we have steps up to our crib, up to our bedroom. And so I'm playing on the fact that, you know, I'm hurt. And you should have brought more water than just the one cup. We do this every night. So she slams over the covers and she gets down. She starts walking down the steps and she says stuff like this every night. She says it. She says, "I'm gonna give you this drink of water, and that's all you're gonna get. And if you just be dying over there, if that's, you know, she, you know, real unholy. Y'all don't know that part of her." And so I wait till I heard her get all the way down the steps and in the kitchen, and I limp over to them to the top of the stairs, and I say, I don't hear you pouring that in love. Don't you bring me some unloved water?" And she starts, by this time, she's ready to go to jail. She starts screaming, "You don't have to get nothing." And then she comes in and the nightstand is right here, and she could just gently set the cup down. But she doesn't do that. And I'm laying in, I done ran back and laid back in the bed. And she goes, "Here." And she shoves the Stanley cup of water, which is heavy. She just, don't worry about my injury or anything. She just gives it to me like that. And I says, "Now you're not giving that to me in love." Why are you telling us your personal life, Pastor? What I'm trying to tell you is, when you come up here and you put that at sea in the basket, you know, because I done seen some of you walk past and just put "Here, God." Looking back at me like, "If my lights get cut off, I'm calling you." What? That, you're not giving that in love. You're not giving that in confidence that God will keep you despite whatever comes up against you. There's a whole lot of people, y'all, in here to do stuff and not in love. I can tell. I hear it. Yeah. So when we come up here to give the tithe and give our offering, we should be doing it with a cheerful spirit. Amen. It's, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? Yeah. You know, don't come up here and tithe and then don't speak to me because you're mad at me, because here he go talking about these tithes again. "Here, Pastor." I just want to tell you, sometimes just pick it up and go on back and sit down. You ain't getting no blessing out of that. You just leave it here. You ain't doing nothing but helping the church. And this thing's supposed to help you too. So just take it and go on home. Yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil. How many people we done had in here give some money to the church one time and didn't feel great about it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some saved, honest people in here. Amen. Yeah. Let me get you out of here. And so what you need to understand is that what God gets out of your giving is the obedience. What I want you to see, what God blesses is the obedience, and he watches, I want you to catch this, he watches the spirit in which you give in.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
What blesses God is the obedience, and the sacrifice is an expression of love. God doesn't need anything, and whatever you gave him, he has already given it to you. It is your obedience that constitutes worship. It's not the amount in which you gave, it's the obedience. Incidentally, and I have said this before, but the word worship comes from the Latin word that means worth, W-O-R-T-H, ship, S-H-I-P. How much is he worth to you? Worth-ship. That explains giving is about worship because it's an expression of worth-ship. How much he is worth. One woman broke an alabaster box and began to wash Jesus' feet. Now, the alabaster box represented a serious amount of money, and some Bible scholars say a life savings, and she spent it on Jesus' feet, and Judas was hot. He was upset. Fanatics, they all crazy. But Judas was just jealous and greedy. And that's most critics. They just jealous. Most of your critics, y'all just need to stop taking it so sensitive. Honey, the people that's always got your name in their mouth, it ain't really about you. It's the problem is with them. They jealous about what? You ever have people that's doing better than you, that's driving better than you, house is bigger than yours, got a bigger promotion than you got, and they still can't stand you? Baby, it ain't got nothing to do with you. They can't stand the Holy Ghost that resides in you.
Number one, Judas was greedy. He was all about the money, so much so that he ended up selling Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Judas never did get delivered from his attitude about money. And some of you have sat around the table. You've taken communion. You're a disciple. You're a member of the church. But your mind has not been regenerated about money. And even though you are here in the physical, financially, you're not here. And you're carrying a Judas spirit. And you can tell you have it by when it comes to this issue of money and tithing, you get an attitude.
When I said that, we're going to talk about the money, it was a shifting in this building. You hear me? I didn't come over here to hear all of that. You need to preach about grace. You need to preach about mercy. You need to preach about God's love for me. Anything else can be taught, and you're fine. I can teach on anything else. And you ain't got no problem. But when it comes to money and tithing, I done messed around and struck a nerve. And if it's striking a nerve, you need to check and make sure that you don't have an underlying Judas spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. And if you do have it, you just need to be delivered from it, because ultimately you will end up selling out something more valuable, your relationship with Jesus, for something temporal like 30 pieces of silver. And you'll end up hanging yourself spiritually, choking off the life of God. And then you'll end up backslidden, sitting around your friends, dogging pastors, talking about them preachers. Ain't nothing. All they talk about is the money. All they want is the money. No, baby, Burger King wants your money. We want your salvation. Yeah, yeah.
First Samuel, I'm almost done, I promise. First Samuel chapter 15, verses 17 through 24. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.'" Listen to me. When God says wipe something out,
He means wipe it out completely. Amen. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on a mission. The Lord assigned me to. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep. Now he's telling on everybody else. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Now he's trying to justify why he was disobedient. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" Then he says something that is very profound. He says, "To obey is better than what?"
Sacrifice.
And let's do it again, because you act like you're sleeping here. To obey is better than
sacrifice.
And to heed is better than the fat of rams. Now the fat of rams was something that was offered up to the Lord when it was the best of the offering. But to obey was even better than that. Verse number 23. For rebellion is like a sin of divination, and divination is witchcraft. And arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them." Saul lost his blessing. He lost everything because he failed his covenant partner, who was the Lord. He had insulted God, and he insulted God because he hath obeyed. Don't allow people to tell you, "Well, as long as you're doing this, the Lord will understand." Not if God gave you a clear command. He does not understand if he gave you a clear command. You understand what I'm saying to you? You got to be careful of a half-truth, because it's worse than a whole lie. Why? Because it's believable. Next question. Why do I tithe from my gross when all I brought home was my net? And that's how a lot of people really feel. Anybody feel like that? It's okay. I ain't going to say nothing to you. I promise. All right. Why do I have to tithe from my gross when all I brought home was my net? And that's how a lot of people really feel. And I'm paying 10% of what I'm actually bringing home. And that's a good question. It's actually a valid question. But the proper way to tithe is actually off your gross. Gross means income before deductions. Okay, stay with me. Don't just get mad. Whatever your gross income is, that is your income. And it was your income when you was trying to buy the house. When they asked you how much you make a year, you didn't give them your net. You gave them your gross. It was your income when you wanted to go buy a car. It was your income when you were filling out papers for a loan. The only time that you get amnesia about that is when it comes to the tithing. You fail to understand. You can't remember, you know, when it comes to the tithe, but you give it to the house payment. You'll get it for the house payment. It's a tithe when you're going after the car payment. You see what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden you're confused. You wasn't confused all those other times. Giving tithes on the net is actually giving God what is left. Amen? It was gross when you wanted something, but when it comes to your tithes, now you want to make a deal. After 401 gets theirs, after Uncle Sam gets his, you know what I'm saying? So for some of us, checking the cash get theirs.
Now you want to make a deal when it comes to God. Pastor, why are you teaching? Why was you teaching on this today? Because we perish for what we do not know. We perish without a knowledge of something. And another reason why I'm teaching this today is because if we all got on board the way we were supposed to, we wouldn't have a problem in the world. I mean, we'd have problems, but they wouldn't be financial. If our church got on board, this place wouldn't be going up for sale because we'd be able to handle everything that needs to be handled. You see what I'm saying to you? It comes to a point in our life where we have to sit back and say, I'm going to be a mature believer. Not just in coming to church every Sunday, because truth be told, that don't cost you nothing. Not just coming to Bible study every now and again, because that don't cost you nothing. But when it is that it is tithes and offering, that part of the service, when we understand what our tithe has the potential to do and how it has the potential to come back tenfold, you understand what I'm saying to you? We should be, man, when are they going to get to the offering part of the service? You see what I'm saying? The pastor shouldn't have to move strategically. What do you mean, Pastor? Sometimes I have to move the order of service around because people get slick. 11:27, he's taking that offering. 11:37, he's taking that offering. We just going to wait till 11:42 just to be sure. Then I was going to say something like, you know, for all the intentionally late people, I was going to say, at the end of the service, now Joel and Nelly, they're all back there with the offering plates, and they're waiting for you. If you was late and didn't get a chance to give, we want you to have your chance to give. But then I really seem like I'm after it, right? You see what you put me through? I got to set up at night and devise plans. Lord, tell me when they're gonna walk in, and then we'll have the offering. What in the world? Amen. How many of you got a job? Put your hands up. Be proud of that job. God's blessed you. How many of you understand you wouldn't have that job had it not been for the Lord on your side? Yeah. And for you young people in here, this is a principle that you want to tap into immediately. It's better than a 401. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's better than insurance. It's actually assurance. You see what I'm saying to you? So, I feel in my spirit, some of y'all done felt bad through this teaching. So Joel will have the basket. No, I'm just playing. And so, but we got to tithe. We have to give. Amen? So consecrate the money. Consecrate the money. It is the greatest investment that you will ever make. And don't think because there's a small crowd in here that we're not good ground. Because I know cats got churches with 800 to 1,000 people, and we'd be lucky if 200 is saved. Don't equate if this is good ground by the crowd. That'll fool you every time. Amen? Amen. We're now going to pray over the kids. They're going back to school next week. Amen.